Amen. We're back on emotions again. I was looking last night and I thought, you know something? Gee, we're about 23 pages into the book. And it's got 263 pages, I think. It's a lot of emotions, okay? So this morning we're going to start out talking about emotionalism. The term emotionalism is used to describe a tendency to rely on or place too much value on emotions. Often it's defined as an excessive display of emotion. You know, some people, they found that throughout life, starting as small children, that if they throw a big enough fit, they get what they want. So they learn to rely on their emotions and to play people, to manipulate people. You know, you want your mom and dad to do something, you cry big crocodile tears, and, oh, Mom, you just don't understand. Yeah, we all do it. We've all had it done to us at some point or another. Little brothers and sisters are great for that with the big brothers and sisters. Oh, come on. I'll take you with me. You know, type thing. You know, it happens everywhere that you go is you have people that are using their emotions to get you to do what you want them to do. And the guilt trip is probably the biggest one that's used all the time by kids especially. Yeah, I'll be the only kid in school that doesn't have that. Well, then you'll be the only kid in school that doesn't have that. Okay? An emotionalist is one whose conduct is ruled by emotions as opposed to reason, meaning everything is an emotional roller coaster for them. Has nothing to do with reason at all. It's just, oh, my God, look what happened. Why, blah, 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 blah. And they just go off on this emotional roller coaster without really stopping to think anything about it as to why it happened, who was involved in all the, you know, the details and stuff, the logical, reasonable things that you need to know. And you go off on this tangent and you run into someone else and you're telling them all about it and they go, well, who was it? Well, I don't know. Well, was anyone hurt? Well, I don't know. There's just this terrible accident. That's what you knew. Okay? And you run on that emotional roller coaster of yours with this little tidbit of news and you just bypass everything that has any importance to it. And this is what we sometimes do. Okay, so it's better if we have a more reasonable set mind so that when things happen and things come up, we're thinking, why did that happen? Did I cause that to happen? What if it happened, whether it had anything to do with me or not? And these types of things, instead of looking at it in those types of views, we automatically want to respond emotionally to what happened. Yeah, he punched me. That's why I punched him back. Okay? I'm not going to let someone push me around like that. You know, these are the types of things that we do is we respond to things in a negative manner because, after all, wasn't it negative? We don't stop to think what caused them to do that to us. What made them behave the way they did? And, you know, a lot of times by us just responding in kind, we're feeding into the same thing that caused that behavior to start with. So, you know, they say that kids that are abused will often love the person that abuses them because they don't understand the difference between negative and positive attention. And all they know is they got a lot of attention. Okay? And to them, that was normal attention. So they don't see it as abusive attention. They were getting attention from mom and dad, whatever it was. Okay? So we have to be able to use reasoning instead of emotions. And these children that grow up like that, they don't have any gauge to work with because they don't really know what their emotions should be or what they should be feeling. Or, you know, they have no baseline to judge it by. All they know is this is the way my life has been all my life. And so that's the way they live. If we go to Proverbs and we read through Proverbs, I don't have a verse for you, Shirley. But in Proverbs, if you look through Proverbs, I see you're writing. There's a lot of verses in Proverbs that have to do with emotions and wisdom and comparing the two. If you read through Proverbs, you learn that the difference between the two concerns proper timing. Okay? So wisdom always waits for the right time to act, while emotion's going to push for action right now. I want it done right now. You know, he hit me, I'm going to hit him back right now. Okay? It's not necessarily wisdom. That's your emotions reacting. Okay? Wisdom would say, whoa, wait a minute. If I punch him back, I could get arrested too. You know, because now we've assaulted each other. And, you know, if anyone calls the police, guess what? We're both going to jail. So, you know, if you stop and rationalize before you respond, then that's wisdom. Because you didn't just react to the emotional thing that you were going through, but you took time to think it out and decide what you really wanted to do. Because, you know, a lot of times when we let our emotions control us, we do things we shouldn't. Okay, that, yeah. And, you know, and really, if someone's being really pushy and stuff with you, and you about at your wits' end and stuff, you know, I learned yesterday that I had nothing to say to someone. And it was better if I didn't say something, okay? Because if I did, it would be my emotions talking. So I decided that the best thing for me to do is keep mouth shut. And it worked for a while until they said, what's wrong with you? You mad or something? And I said one comment, and then I zipped it back up and thought, that was enough. Behave yourself. This ain't going to, you know, go that way. So, you know, but the thing is that this is what we do. We want to react to our emotions and how things made us feel because, I'm sorry, I'm a human being too, and I have feelings. And my goodness, I think you pushed it. Okay, so now I'm a little upset about things. And I really want to say a lot to you. But I'm trying not to say anything at all because I know if I open up the floodgates, all the water is going to rush out. I'm not going to be able to rein it back in, okay? I'm not going to get that floodgate back in place in time to keep from doing damage. So we need to handle those emotions and keep them reined back in because I got to tell you guys, you can say you're sorry until the day that the world stops turning. But it will never undo the damage you do with those words that come out. You can hit somebody and they will heal. And they may forget that you even hit them. But when you speak words into someone's life, those things are absorbed into the other person's being, and they don't go away. 20 years from now, they'll still be in the crevices and the recesses of that person going, one day these people said this about you. They don't go away. They stay. Okay? So we need to be very careful that we don't do things under emotions. Because then we will say something. I've been practicing keeping my mouth shut a lot here lately. So, wisdom waits for the right time to act. Right now I'm a little upset and I don't think I should talk about this, so I'm going to keep my lips shut. I'm going to wait until I know that I have myself under control, and then I'm going to say something to the person. I'm going to try to get this thing ironed out. Right now, if I say something, I'm going to go at that person in the wrong manner. I'm going to tear them apart because that's how I'm feeling right now. So I need to get myself to a place where I can calm down, get myself pulled together, organize my thoughts, and go in hoping to maintain whatever relationship it is while still letting them know how they made me feel. When you're feeling that way, though, is not the time, okay? Because you will say more to them than you really want to. And then you'll regret it later. But, you know, regret doesn't do a thing for taking it away. So emotionalism is very rash, and it calls for immediate action and satisfaction, okay? Because when we use wisdom, we sometimes have to wait to see the satisfaction of our decision. But emotional things, you see the results right away because they aren't always good. Okay? Just because you get quick results don't mean they're the ones you want. So, you know, you have to really give thought to how your actions are going to affect your future. How are my actions going to affect my livelihood if I blow up at work and lose my job? I need to rein my emotions back in. I need to get myself under control here. You know, I've seen it, you know, because where I work, we have a kind of large turnover of people right now. And what happens is we have a lot of younger people, and they're not used to working with the population and everything, and it's all new to them. And so they're really kind of, I don't know what I'm doing, type mentality half the time. And, you know, they get in these positions where they really don't know what's expected out of them. So they're not doing things. And it's not because I don't want to do my job. It's because I really don't know I'm supposed to be doing that. And their coworkers that have been there aren't opening up their mouths and saying anything. You know, hey, did anyone tell you that you have to do this? You know, and then they have a chance to say, oh, no. How do you do that? What does that entail? And so they can find out how to do their job properly. Instead, everyone just kind of keeps tight lips and sits and talks about each other behind closed doors or when they're away from each other. And that doesn't build that relationship. And it's because you're working on your emotionalism and, you know, on what your emotions are telling you. Well, they just let me do all the work. Well, maybe they don't understand what part of the work is theirs to do. Has anyone taken the time to ask them? You know, now if you tell them, hey, you have Andy to do this morning, and they go, uh-huh, and keep right on walking away from you and never go out, then you know that they could care less, okay? But if they flat, you know, don't know, and you ask them, and they go, oh, I didn't know, well, then, see, you just saved yourself a problem because you could have sat there and stewed about that and had all kinds of emotional feelings about that. And you really, if you just stop and use a little wisdom, think about it. Try to figure out where it's coming from. See if there really is a point. Because, you know, I hear it all the time. They did it on purpose. Well, no, they just did it out of ignorance. They didn't know no better, and they didn't realize they did it. You know, and a lot of times people think they did it on purpose. They knew they were doing that to me. No, they didn't. Ask. Don't let those emotions keep you from cleaning up the rubble around you and making your work life or your home life or any other life miserable because of all that jumble, all that mess that's around you because of these things in relationships. You know, that's what keeps relationships all in a stir so that you can't really enjoy it is because of the emotional things going on. So if you're an emotional person, you're only concerned about what's happening at that moment and how it's affecting you right then. That is not wisdom. Okay? I may not be very happy with where God has me right at this moment, but it is very necessary for me to get to the next place that he wants me to be. All right? And this is the things that we got to do. We got to get these emotions to think along the right lines. Because our emotions, believe me, you know those little cartoons with the little devil and the little angel on your shoulders? It's kind of true. You get the Holy Spirit, you get the devil. And the Holy Spirit's telling you, you need to do this. And the devil's going, you don't really need to do that. They just tell you that stuff. You can stay at home today. And it depends on whether you're walking in the Spirit or letting your emotions rule you on which one you're going to listen to. Because after all, if I'm letting my emotions rule me, I'm really tired. I don't feel like going this morning. I think I will just lay here today. You know, and these are the things that we tell ourselves and talk ourselves right out of our relationship with God. So we really have to be careful with our emotions because that's where the enemy really plays and gets you thinking things that you really shouldn't be thinking. Like, I don't have to be there. People don't want me there. Nobody likes me there. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a hardship to people. You know, these are things that I hear people say all the time. And no, it's not really true. You know what I mean? But the enemy will tell you that to make you feel like you need to get away. You need to move on. Or somewhere else that you have to be type thing. And really all he's doing is rooting you out of the place that God wants you at so you can get straightened out or so you can get the support that you need behind you. So, you know, how many times have you done or said something out of the heat of the moment? Too many times, huh? More times than I can count. And, you know, and there's always that deep, deep regret afterwards. Like, oh, man, I wish I just kept my mouth shut. What's wrong with me? I know better than let them bait me like that. I know better than let them, you know, make me blow. But we do it anyhow. And that's because at that moment, they got us when our emotions were running high and we wasn't listening for the Holy Spirit to speak. Remember, if you have some kind of emotional turmoil going on, you need to look to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, hey, remember me? Help me. I need to know which way to go right about now. I'm at this crossroads and I don't know where to keep going straight or make this turn. I need some direction, please. Yeah, and there's so much damage that can be done in just one emotional outburst. You know, you may feel good after you get it off your chest, but man, the after effect, the ripples that are caused from that just aren't worth it. They really aren't. And it's all because of emotions. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I just need to let them know. Well, did you really, or did you just want to say it? Because what you did was give them a whipping, a verbal whipping. And did they really need that verbal whipping from you? Or did you just want to administer it? You know, so people don't necessarily need to hear what you want to say all the time. There is. And I got to tell you, 9 times out of 10, if I know I messed up and up, I also know that I messed it up and that what it caused happened, what the aftershocks of it was, and how many people it affected, and how badly I feel from what I just did. So do I really need you telling me? Probably not. The only person that really needs that banged into their head is a person that has no conscience, that has no feelings at all, because they could care less what they made other people feel like. They could care less what damage they cause. Those are probably the only people that really need to be told that they messed something up like that. Because the rest of us have some feelings, that know that other people have feelings and are conscious and considerate of other people and how they feel, we kind of know when we hurt people. We don't always see it, but most of the time, biggest part of the time, as soon as the words escape these lips and come out, we see the damage done. We see that stricken look. We see that hurt. We see the slumped shoulders. We see the body language is changed to defeat. We see it. And we caused it because we decided to act on how we felt emotionally. Do we really have to say the things that we say? Sometimes I think we do. Sometimes I think we need to ask wisdom. You know, and if you ask for wisdom, then you know, that's what He'll give you, is wisdom. Galatians 2:2 tells us, therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as something of minor importance and defeat its very purpose. I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace or the unmerited favor of God. Now, any time that we have a problem, any kind of in our lives, that we decide that we're going to change it or remold it or whatever you want to call it, it's hard, okay? It's not easy to start learning how to handle your emotions, because most of us have already been X amount of years doing it this way, and that's just the way we do things. That's ingrained in us. That's how things are in our lives. But it wasn't the right way. You know, some kids grow up swearing and smoking and drinking. Yeah, that's how they grew up, but that's not the right way. Okay? And it's the same thing with your emotional balance. Just because you grew up emotionally on balance doesn't mean that it's correct to live like that. Okay? So we need to work with it. And really, it starts out with just learning to curb your tongue. Giving yourself time to think. Time to ask the question, God, what would you have me do in this circumstance? You know, that little phrase, catchphrase we used to have. What would Jesus do? Well, really, that's what you need to do. Okay, God, What would you do? If you were right here right now, what would you do? Would you punch him? I want to punch him. Can I punch him, please? But you need to ask. He's going to tell you, no, silly kid. You can't punch him. And he'll tell you what to do. Okay? Yeah, why not? So, you know, but this is what we are supposed to do. You know, it's very easy to open lips and put both feet in. Because usually that's what we do. We think that we're getting the upper hand and that we're showing them. Nah, really, we're just opening up the lips and putting both feet in. Yeah. And, you know, and I always find that when people start out attacking other people in ignorance, that they end up getting hurt by the same shrapnel that they're throwing around. You know, it's a two-edged sword, sort of. You know, they may be getting you, but they're getting it too. And they're the ones doing it to themselves. It's like the words you speak. Be careful what you say. You talk about someone else's kids. You got children. You got grandchildren. Great-grandchildren. Guess what? Watch. In the future, there are your children. There are your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. The same things you talked about other people's kids, that's what you're going to see in your own. Because of the words that you spoke. It's, yeah, you know, and our emotions make us do this. They do something terrible. Oh my gosh, can you believe that child? I can't believe they have a kid that acts like that. They must not have raised him right. It's not so. You can raise a child in all the right ways, and the devil can take him down all the wrong paths until he finds his way back up. But if he was raised in the correct ways, he will circle back around and find home if the devil doesn't take him out first. So we just have to know that and hold fast to that and not talk negative. Everything that anyone I know has ever said about someone else's kids, I watch the same things happen with theirs. It's serious. Talk about someone else's marriage, beware. Yours is on the block now. We don't understand the power of our words. And they are ruled by our emotions. So we need to learn to manage our emotions, or we're letting our emotions control us and cause havoc among those around us. And pain and regret that we can't get past. You have to understand, first of all, though, that any time we seek to change anything about ourselves, we got a struggle on our hands. Because the first thing that the devil is going to say is, I don't want that. And if he sees you making any leeway, you better believe he's going to try everything in his power to have you fall two steps behind for every one you get ahead, to discourage you. But he can only do that so long, okay? Then he has to leave you alone. So, you know, the thing is keeping that positive attitude, which comes from what? Your emotions. And how do you keep that positive attitude? By telling yourself what the word says. By telling the devil what little control he has over you. And how much control God and God's power has over him. You know, but we don't use those weapons in our closet, our warfare closet. Oh, God, I just can't believe it. Look what you're putting me through. He isn't putting you through nothing. You're letting the devil drag you through it. And it's because of your emotions. It's your emotions that keep you defeated because you want to constantly think back to, oh, poor me. I could have been so much further along if I just would have lived in the world and done what the world told me to do. No, you couldn't. That was a pretty picture the devil painted for you. It was a lie. He only wanted you to believe that. He may even show you the beginnings of that picture. But in the end, it all crumbles And it's a lie because it has no substance to it. He doesn't come through on his promises. Okay? He doesn't. And once he has you good and hooked in his, then he says, okay, you're on your own. There is no Holy Spirit to call upon. Okay? You're on your own. So if you guys have been trying to deal with your emotions in the last couple of weeks since we've been going over this, you found that it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to stop yourself from doing things that you've been doing all your lives. And, you know, it's a fight within ourselves, but we have to be willing and ready at any time when we feel ourselves faltering, we feel ourselves struggling, to cry out. Cry out to God. Cry out to the Holy Spirit. Help me. You know, he says he never leaves us alone. He doesn't ever have us go through anything that he hasn't made a way of escape for. There's no place that we're at that he will not go and take us by the hand and lead us out. And that's what you have to understand. So many times we get into a place of despair, a place where we don't feel like we can go any further, and we just stop and we let the enemy overtake us. And this is not what God's plan is for us. We need to fill ourselves up with the knowledge that's in the book of the Word of God so that we know what gives us life. What we have in our little war chest. What we can throw at the devil when he becomes a pest in our lives. You know, it's like our fly swatter. That fly gets buzzing around me, I'm going to swat him good. And that's the attitude we need to have instead of running and hiding every time he rears his ugly head. And the reason you do that is because you have not got your emotions under control. Because if you get your emotions under control, you're going to look over and say, oh, it's just you. Haven't you gotten tired of following me around yet? Haven't you learned that it doesn't make any difference to me if you antagonize me or not? I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. This is the attitude that you have to have. And you can only have that attitude if you learn to manage your emotions and tell your emotions what they're going to think, how they're going to act, and how they're going to feel. Okay? Instead of letting the devil do that for you. Too many times we let the devil tell us how we're going to feel. You know, I know people that they hear something and they want to be offended. The devil's already told them that they want to be offended. They're going to be offended. So it doesn't matter what comes out of that other person's mouth, it's going to offend them. Because the devil's already planted that seed that they're going to be offended. And it's going to work that way. So we need to learn that, you know, a lot of us think that we can do it on, you know, sheer determination or willpower, that, you know, we can do it on our own. We can't. We need to cry out. When you feel yourself wavering, when you feel that temptation overwhelming and you just don't know what to do anymore, cry out. He says, I'm just a whisper away, but I'm telling you to shout. Okay? Get his attention real quick. Say, help me, Lord. You know, when you're in distress, you don't go, help me, Lord. You shout out. You cry out to him. And you tell him you need his help. And he will show you what to do. You know, we need to get serious about what we're doing because the enemy is going to come at us and attack us. And if we're not ready, he's going to get us in our emotional life. And he's going to drag us under if he can keep us in a turmoil there. So we need to gain control of our emotions now so that when the enemy comes, we're prepared. We're ready. We got the gates in place. Okay? Everything's locked and bolted down and he ain't getting in. And we need to get that attitude. And that attitude comes with knowing that you're ready. Knowing that you're prepared. Knowing that you've already fought this battle and won. Okay? Because Jesus fought it. There's nothing you have to do but ride in on the victory cloud. That's it. He's already fought it for us. So we need to learn to manage our emotions. We need to learn to recognize when we're getting ready to blow off and take that invisible little key and lock our lips up and say, nope, not here, not now. tuck it away for later until you can speak and do so in the right way. So that you're not a tool of the enemy instead of a tool of your Savior. Because, you know, that's how he gets us so many times, is he gets us in our emotional arena. And when we blow it and we lose it, boy, we look like such fools. And the enemy sits back and laughs, rolls, yells, chuckles of laughter come out of him because you blew it. Yeah. And we did the damage that we can't undo. Amen. We kind of lose some of that trustability as a Christian. People that are watching us. Look at all these people that fell with this thing with the pornography and stuff. You know, they lost faith, not just for themselves, but for the church, for everybody, because of what they did. Can't take that back. We're out of time. Sister Nancy, can you close us in prayer?